have had times when you just had a, if not face to face, a close encounter with the Lord, really close. How many of you have had those things? Well, I had one this week. I don't know about you, but usually it comes unexpectedly. I was not ready for this. In a way, I wasn't. The way I was. I like to go to the... I'm just going to tell you how I roll here, how I walk. Go to the park usually every day. I walk, talk to the Lord, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit for a while so I can get in tune with the Holy Spirit. And listen to get a feel of what God wants to say. And it's not just for what I'm going to preach on or anything, but how many believe that we ought to live every day by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord? That's what the word says. And so this day, this came back, I guess, the beginning of the week. I'm walking in the park, and all of a sudden, this hit me. This thing hit me. How much not just Jesus had gone through, the agony that he went through, but also the agony the Father went through, having to watch this and literally entering into the same suffering as his son. And I had just gotten through listening to a song on the way in. It was a Gaither. How many like the Gaither vocal band music? And this particular song had to do with just our meeting with Jesus. You know, and the matter of fact, the name of the song, if you're curious, is Yes, I Know. And as I listened to it, I just began sobbing, just began crying. How many of you ever been in a situation like that? Ina didn't beat me up, so I wasn't crying because of that. I wasn't crying because my bills weren't paid or anything like that, but I just began to feel the weight, just a little bit of it, just a little bit of it, that the Father must have felt when he went through the agony of watching his. How many of you saw the Passion? Yeah, it was something else. Remember when the tear fell from the Father on the cross? And I just felt this. And God saying, this is what he told me. He said, I'm bringing you into a new relationship with me, with the Father. And I don't know all that will entail. But I began to, the first thing he got my attention, boy, did he get my attention. And I just began to, as I say, began to sob. Listening to that music, thinking about what he must have felt like when he was watching Jesus go through this and the agony that he was going through as well, so that we could be saved and delivered and redeemed. Wow. What a God. What a Savior. And then here's what he just gave me this. This is I knew it up here rather than down here. How many know you think you got it here? And you may have, but how many know there's layers? And so I got this revelation about his compassion for us. And the Lord said, it's not... Let me just say this to you. We're going to boil it down. I want to boil it down. Make it really easy. How many know it's not the hoops you jump through, the scriptures you memorize, the fasting you go through? How many know it's all about his compassion? It's faith in his compassion. It's faith in his love for what he's done for us. We're going to build on this morning. We're going to build on it. It's a serious message, but it's a glorious one. Right? And so my message is, when you see his grace, he sees your faith. When you see his mercy, he sees your faith. Right? Because really, when we boil it all down, how many know it's all about his mercy? Right? How many of you ever been in a place where you didn't have the faith that you needed? You had failed God. Things just weren't jiving for you. They weren't working for you. And you cast yourself on the mercy and goodness of God, and he came through for you. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Whoa, praise the Lord. I remember, and when I first listened to, I was listening to this song on the way in. Could barely drive, man. I was glad I got to the parking time I could pull over. I'm sobbing. I said, God, what are you doing to me here? What's going on? It was good. But, hey, I believe we're in a new day. We really are. I don't know how that's going to affect us individually or corporately, but I like it. I like it. Okay? We're going to hear a testimony in a minute, I believe, that will really, really touch you. Let me get my specs on here. I don't want to miss anything. All right. First thing on the agenda here. What is the key to unlock God's mercy and grace toward us? Let's look at Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And the Lord hit me with this, bowels of mercy. You don't get that in a lot of the other translations, but you do get it in the King James. That's the deepest, deepest part of your emotions that you can feel. Has anybody ever experienced that where you were touched so deeply in a thing? You know? And you can't. I remember one time God spoke to me and he said, I want you and Ina to go to. This is when we were in New Orleans. He said, I want you to go the Saturday afternoon. I want you to go to church and just be there. So, and pray. So I prayed. And then Ina, I was in the prayer room and then she left. She said, I'm going to play the organ for a while. So she did that. And so I come walking out. I came walking out and I was going to tell her, hey, I'm done praying. We might as well go. I got halfway down the aisle, and I got socked. It was a Holy Ghost sock. I fell on my knees. I started sobbing like a baby. Ina didn't beat me up. We had our bills paid and all that. It has nothing to do with it. It was all about God meeting with me. And I remember just weeping for 15 minutes without stopping. But there was I felt there was a cleansing, a washing. He was washing me. How many know we have to let him do that? We've got to let him do that, especially now. This is a new day. I believe God wants to put a serious cry in our heart for the lost. Really. Because faith works by love. How many know it's his love in you flowing out to them? That's what's going to get it done. Right? I mean, you can memorize all kinds of scriptures and everything, but when it comes right down to it, it's his love flowing through you, right? Even if you don't feel like you got the words, he's there. He's going to speak through you. And I just felt I could stop anytime I wanted, but I didn't want it. It felt too good. I was just being cleansed, you know? And it was like an inner shower and then I started laughing. Deep belly laughs from the depth. And I felt like I could stop any time, but why? It was too good. How many know there are times we have to let God be God in our lives? Just let him be God, right? Let him do what he wants to do. So, let's go on with this. Our faith must be, and this is so important. God hit me with this again and again and again. Our faith in these days must be rooted in God's compassion for us. Okay? Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures here to show you. It's not just one or two. It's a bunch where he was moved with compassion. I want us to get this. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you got to get this. Our faith must be rooted in God's compassion for us. Jesus was moved with compassion, not the faith of the people, and he has not changed. And we're going to see this, right? Well, Pastor Dave, are you saying that faith is not essential? I'm not saying that at all. But it's faith in his compassion. Where do we put our faith? Can't be in our good works. Well, I've attended church every day of the week. If not here, I go somewhere else. I got my gold star, not my blue. How many know that's nice, but it ain't going to count? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. It's all about his compassion for us. We're going to really see that, right? Now, I want us to consider these particular scriptures. Let's look at them. Matthew 14:14 is the first one. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was what? Moved with compassion, bowels of mercy, where you feel something so deep. Deep, all right? You can't contain it. You're either going to cry or you're going to laugh. But you feel it real deep. Jenny, just a minute, we're going to get to you. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. How many know he hasn't changed? And you know what? He's going to have compassion through you. Lean over and tell your neighbor he's talking to you. One more healing scripture. I'm going to bring Jenny up in just a minute. Let's look at Matthew 15:32. And Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude. There's the C word again. I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. So let's give you the fill-ins here. The first one in Matthew 14:14, compassion led to healing. The second one, compassion fed the multitude. Fed the multitude. God will bring miracles out of us we didn't even know possible because of his compassion, right? How many know we have to get our eyes off ourselves? Because by ourselves, we're inadequate. We can't get the job done. But how many know we're not by ourselves? Greater is he that what? Is in us than he that's in the world, right? Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. And it'll get the job done, and it will change things forever. Whew. Wow. Let's look at two more scriptures, and then I want to bring Jenny to come down just a minute. Matthew 20:34, let's look at that. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Matthew 20:34. Wow. And then Mark 1:41, its compassion brought healing again. And Jesus moved with what? Compassion. Are you getting it? This is not a one-time deal. It's continual. It was a way of life for him. How many know it needs to be a way of life for us? You know, we can talk to individuals. We can enter into a discussion with them and find out how they're doing, what's making them tick. And I'm going to prophesy this to you. Get ready. You're going to be talking to someone. Well, I feel it. You're going to be talking to someone. I don't know. It could be anywhere. And you're going to start feeling compassion for this person. And maybe you don't know their whole story, but you feel real compassion for them. Don't stifle that. Ask them if they need help, need prayer for something, right? I remember one time the Holy Ghost told me, we were witnessing in different places, and it was a Sunday, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go to Walmart and take $40 with you. And it's not for you. Not for Ina. Just take it with you. You'll know. And he told me, he said, okay, get ready. You're going to meet, you're going to see. He said, a husband, wife, and a little kid in a buggy. And I saw the wife, saw the little kid, and the husband came around the corner. All right. So I went, and I engaged with them, and they were open. And I said, do you have any financial needs? And the lady, oh, we're fine. And the husband, no, we're not. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit told me to take $40 with me, and now you're the ones I'm supposed to give this to. And they're crying, woo, God. Then you enter into their, right? So, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said to him, I will be clean. And guess what? He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you're feeling this thing, you could be anywhere. Maybe God hasn't spoken to you yet, but you're in a restaurant. You're somewhere. Maybe you're going out to eat somewhere later on today. And the Holy Ghost puts this on you. Don't stifle it. Let it flow. And you're going to see a difference. God will work miracles through you. Lean over and tell your neighbor he's talking to you. Jenny, come on up here. Wow. I'm not done yet, but you got to hear her testimony. And she's a living example of what we're talking about.
Okay. So I wanted to share with you guys a little bit about what the Lord did for me this past week. Sorry. I've never spoken in a microphone before. But I had begun getting sick in the beginning of December, and I started to develop all of these symptoms from the beginning of December, like all the way through December, and the symptoms were just building up, and every day it was like I had a new symptom. And I became so sick that I was faint. I couldn't stand up for more than 5 minutes without falling over. I couldn't walk into my kitchen and make myself a meal. I couldn't eat anything. I was throwing up everything that I was eating. It had been like 2 weeks since I had been able to eat anything. The only thing that I was able to eat was yogurt and Jell-O. So like that's all that I could eat. And I started having hot sweats and cold sweats. I started getting a sore throat. I had ulcers like all over my throat on the inside. I couldn't swallow anything. I was running different fevers. They were jumping like up and down. And this was going on, and every time that I would stand up, the room would begin to spin, and it would just spin and spin, so I just had to sit back down. And those aren't the only symptoms. I mean, there was, like, more symptoms than that. So altogether, I probably had at least 13 to 15 symptoms that had accumulated over the period of a month. And so I ended up going to the emergency room at least, like, 4 times, and the fourth time, they just kept sending me home because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And so the fourth time that I went, finally the doctor came in and she said, I need to admit you into the hospital because your blood pressure is dangerously low and we can't actually let you go home. So they admitted me into the hospital and I was there for, I think, 3 nights and 4 days to be exact. And on the fourth day, finally the doctor came in and she was like, you have a disease. And she said, and it's incurable. And she said, and if you do everything the doctors tell you for the remainder of your life, then you won't die. And she said, but if you don't, she said, some people only live a year. Some people only live 3 years. And she said, and you can die. So she said, as long as you do what the doctors say, then you can stay alive. And when she said that to me, images of my children just started like going through my head. And I was just like, I can't leave my children on this earth without me because I love them so much and because they love me so much that if anything happened to me, you know, I just was imagining what their hearts would feel. And I have a 7-year-old little boy that I needed to get up and take care of. And it was really hard for me through December to take care of him because I was always in bed. I was in bed like all of December. And he was just like, Mommy, can you please get out of bed and play with me? And I was like, I want to, you know, but Mommy doesn't feel good. But when the doctor came in and gave me this diagnosis, I'm not going to lie, I was not walking in my spirit at that time. I was completely in my flesh. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I felt my heart cave in and I felt it just drop to the floor. And I was in utter shock because I knew that this disease actually is a very rare disease and it's not something that a lot of people have. And I just thought, what are the chances, you know, that this happens to me? And all these negative thoughts just started flooding through my head. And I was just like, this is my punishment. Like, God is punishing me. I was like, this must be my punishment because of my horrible past. Or, you know, this is, God is just using this to teach me a hard lesson, like tough love, like a military dad. Like, no offense to people who have military dads, but I had a military dad. He was very kind of strict, but he was also very loving. But I just thought, you know, this is tough love. This is my punishment. You know, this is it. And, you know, God was fed up with me, and he just said, let her have it. You know, and that's the idea that I had. And I went home from the hospital with the darkest depression that I have ever felt in my entire life. I felt like I had just been given a death sentence. And the idea of having to rely on this medication and rely on these doctors for the rest of my life, they said, just for me to stay alive, just didn't sit right in my heart. I just thought, that's no life. You know, that's not a life to me. I thought, that's a prison. And I felt like a slave to this diagnosis. And so it was Monday night that I had gotten home from the hospital, and I had cried myself to sleep that night. And I remember just crying out to God and just saying, God, I just need you to hug me. I just need you to hold me. I just need to feel your arms wrapped around me, and I just need to know that you're with me. And I came to the healing rooms the next morning, and I had gone back with Kimberly and Tim, and they had brought me in the back, and I just was like this, like, depressing little girl that came in with this little cloud over my head, and they brought me in the back, and they just started talking to me about who Jesus is, and that, you know, he healed me on the cross, that by his stripes that I've been healed, and they stood in agreement with me for healing. And I received it, and I felt hopeful. I felt my confidence. I felt the depression leave immediately because hope had come in. And I had come out here and sat for a little while. And so I had believed, I had heard what they had said, and I knew that what they were saying was in the Bible. But my experiences in life, I had been through so much suffering and so much grief in my life, and I had been through so much trauma, that I allowed my circumstances to begin to tell me who Jesus was. And I lost sight of who he was, and the understanding of my heart of who he was had become darkened, and my heart had begun to become hard because of all the things that I had been through. And I was experiencing, you know, I was remembering a time when I was a little girl. And I sat, you know, in Bible study, and people told me about the miracles of Jesus. And I remember just sitting there with, like, these big eyes. My eyes were, like, wide open, and I was just in awe. And I was just like, what happened to that little girl? Like, what happened to that faith? And I allowed the world, and I allowed all the pain that I had been through and all the rejection that I had been through, and even the things that I had done to myself to define who Jesus was. And I remember Kimberly telling me to go and to begin watching Andrew Womack. So I started watching Andrew Womack, and I think I watched like 20 sermons in a matter of like 2 days of just like healing. And everything that he was saying was opposite of what I was believing Jesus to be, which is our healer. And it hit me. Like, I always had heard the sermons. You know, I had gone to church, and I'd heard the sermons repetitively over the last 37 years of my life, but I never had the knowledge here. And so it was like in that moment that I realized that, you know, these verses that Andrew was giving me about Jesus being our healer, that, you know, Jesus told me that he cannot lie. And so when I realized, like, I was connecting all these dots. I was like, there's these verses about Jesus walking around and healing people, and he's our healer. And then understanding that Jesus cannot lie, then that meant that I could trust those words. But I still had this idea that I didn't have impressive enough faith. I was like, well, you know, this is really good for, like, mega church leaders or power Christians or people who are like, you know, really holy. But, you know, I don't know that my faith is, you know, impressive enough to manifest this kind of healing in my life. And God was just like, he said, Jenny, I said to him, you know, Jesus, I really don't want to live my life with this disease. And he said, Jenny, he said, then you don't have to. He said, this is for you.
Yeah.
He's like, this isn't just for them. Like, this is for you. Like, this is for the least of them. Because you think that it's for like the great, holy, powerful. He's like, no, this is for like the least of you. And this is for everybody. And so I received it. I received it. And I went back to the verse where he said, whatever you ask for in my name, if you believe it and you receive it, then it's yours. And then I looked at the verse where it said that he cannot lie. And I was like, he literally is telling me something and he's not lying. And I just thought that was, you know, that in that moment, I was able to believe it. And so I just received the healing. And I just said, thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes that I have been healed already on the cross, and that you looked up at the Father and you said, it is finished.
Yes.
You know, the healing was finished on the cross. It's complete. And I asked for it and I received it and he gave it to me. And in that moment, I knew that I had been healed in the spirit. I knew it. I knew that I had been healed and that disease was not in my body. And but I could still feel all the symptoms. You know, I felt all 13 to 15 symptoms. I don't know how many there were, but there were a lot. And I could feel it in my body. But I just stood up and I just started praising him. And I just started thanking him. And I was celebrating. And I was just celebrating the victory. I was just like, God, you are so good. You just healed me from an incurable disease. You know, and you're just so good. And I just was praising him. And then I had this vision as I was praising him. And it was Jesus. And it was him in the temple. And he was throwing tables over in the temple. And I was like, this is weird because we're talking about healing. And I was like, so what does this have to do with healing? Why are you giving me this vision? And he said, Jennifer, your body is your temple. And he said, have you let thieves come into your temple?
Whoa.
And I just said, you know what? I have. I've got all these demons running around rampant in my body doing whatever they want to do to me. And he said, throw them out of your temple. And so I just said, get out. I was so mad. I could feel it. And I just started, the vision changed from him throwing the tables over to me throwing the tables over. And I said, Satan, you get out of my body right now. And you take every sickness and you take every symptom with you. You are not welcome in my temple. And so all of a sudden, instantaneously, all 13 to 14, whatever symptoms stopped. And I'm talking every single solitary one stopped in its track. And I'm talking even the sores on my throat evaporated and disappeared in that moment. And that night, I ate a full meal. And then by the next day, I was eating 3 meals a day and snacks in between. I was just picking. I was picking out. I was eating Twizzlers. I was eating all this terrible stuff. I had lost 10 pounds, I think, in 5 days when I had all the symptoms. I gained it all back. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing because I had been wanting to lose weight, but I was just so happy that I could eat that I didn't care. I was eating 3 meals a day. And I went from not being able to sit down for to stand up for more than 5 minutes to like, I just didn't want to sit down. So I just was walking all over my house, just doing whatever I could. But there's more. So I'm sitting there and I'm having this encounter with the Lord where all the symptoms disappear just right there in an instant. And so I continue to worship and I just continue to praise him. And I just started I was just like crying. I was laughing. I was laughing hysterically at the enemy. And I just feel this pain come into my back. Okay, I had just sent the demons out, and I feel this pain come into my back that was so paralyzing that it could have thrown me on the floor, like it could have knocked me on the floor, and I could barely stand up because the pain was so bad. And I heard a voice, and it was the enemy, and he said, sit down. And I said, I'm not sitting down. I said, I'm not done praising Jesus.
All right.
So I was like, I'll sit down when I'm ready to sit down. So I just keep praising him. And as soon as I said that, the pain left. And then it goes, and I keep praising, and I feel like an out-of-body experience. Like my body went so numb that I couldn't feel anything but the presence of God. And I even said out loud to Jesus, I was like, I could pinch myself right now, and I wouldn't feel it. So I reached down, and I pinched myself, and I couldn't feel it. I couldn't even feel myself pinch myself. And so I continue praising, and then I just start dancing. So I went from not being able to stand up for more than 5 minutes to dancing wildly before the Lord. And so then I'm done worshiping, and I lay down in my bed, and I feel these big arms just come and wrap around me. And he just held me he just put his arms around me, and I had never felt anything like that before in all my life. Just that hug of that Jesus just hugging me and holding me in his arms. And I had asked him when I cried myself to sleep that night that if I could feel him hug me, and he came through for me, and he did it, and he held me in his arms, and I fell asleep. But when I woke up after that, the next day, I was full of joy, and I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any sadness. I wasn't worried. I just felt, in fact, I felt excited. I feel excited because I'm excited to see the story that Jesus has written for me. Because it doesn't end in a disease, and it doesn't end in death. And I'm just really excited. But yeah, I haven't felt any symptoms ever since.
So. Woo! Yeah, baby. Man, you want an illustrated sermon? That's an illustrated sermon. Wow. Great, great word, Jenny. Beautiful. Are you getting the message here? Hello. It's responding to the compassion of Jesus. It's always been there for us. Let's finish out this and Mark 6:34. When this is through, I'm going to invite people. We're going to have our altar team down here, but if you have a physical need of any kind or you want to stand in the gap for somebody, I believe there's gap standing faith here today that our team, when they pray for you or the person you are standing in the gap for, you're going to see an answer this week. It's going to happen. Miracles are about ready to be released. Let's look at Mark 6:34. Compassion led to shepherding the people. Jesus, when he came out, he saw the people. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You're going to come in contact with people that fit that bill particularly, and God's going to nudge you and say, you know, I want you to start to shepherd them a little bit. Get their telephone number. Find out how they're doing. Offer to pray with them. You know, if you reach out to them and you ask them if they would like prayer for anything, healing, whatever it might be, and they say yes, then get their number if they'll allow you with it. And just that's your sheep. Start following up on them. Find out how they're doing. Okay? Okay, and then the final one, Luke 7:13-15. I love this. Compassion led to resurrection. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. We can't get away from that word. It's there everywhere. And he said unto her, weep not. This is the widow of Nain. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bear him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. How many know we're going to start seeing people raised from the dead? And guess what, folks? It's going to be through you. Nudge the person next to you and say, he's talking specifically to you. Get ready. How many know nothing is impossible for our God? Not in this day and age. How many of you believe with me that the coming of the Lord Jesus is very, very close? That's why time is being compressed. I talked on that last week, right? God's speeding things up. If you hadn't noticed, it's happening, you know. And so what we do, we must do quickly because he's coming, right? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, reaching out to people. God will use you. God will touch you. God will make a way for you. It'll happen for you, okay? And so we'll finish reading. He said, oh, we did. We did. We read it. I've been involved in some resurrections. First one was in the Presbyterian Church, of all places, up in New York State. And I just gotten word. I just gotten to this place. This is the McCracken's territory. Frank McCracken Sr. called me this past week. He's 96. Led him to the Lord years ago. He started a church. His son's pastoring now. And he's coming, by the way, Frank Jr. is going to be with us in a few months. I'm going to have him speak. But his brother, Sonny McCracken, came to the hospital, DOA, dead on arrival. The family didn't know it. We found out later on it was the case. So we get into the hospital. I didn't know much, but I remember getting the people together. We held hands, and we spoke a word of life to this man. We didn't know at the time he had already passed away. They were fixing to come in and tell the family this. And so we sent the word. People were touched with the compassion of Jesus for this family and for this man. And you know what happened? God raised him up, lived another 14, 15 years. Praise the Lord. It doesn't depend on our feelings. It's allowing the compassion of Jesus to reach out and send the word, touch the people. And that's what God's wanting of us in these days, okay? So let's look at number two. The same result of God's compassion is action. Our faith must be rooted in his love and deep compassion for us. Let's look at a few more of these scriptures. I really want us to get this. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother has a need and shuts up his bowels of what? Compassion. Bowels of compassion. That means you're feeling it down in the deepest part of your heart, right? Your emotions. They're activated. This is powerful. If you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? Right? This is not just a mental faith. This is a faith that gets down deep in your spirit. Right? I'm very sorry for the churches who say healing's not for today, because it is. And a good way to answer people that have that question, Hebrews 13:8, we read it earlier. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Period. Then the next one, the Father's primary motion toward us is compassion. Psalm 147:11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. All right? To those who hope in his what? His mercy. Right? Let's look at Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. That's where it is. How many know we can complicate this gospel? Complicate it. God wants to uncomplicate it in these days. And I say, okay, let's look at number three. Forgiveness and healing go together. Forgiveness and healing go together. Psalm 103, verse 3. Let's look at it. Who forgives some of your iniquities? Huh? All. Lean over and tell your neighbor, all. All means all. who heals some of your diseases. All. The enemy said, well, you haven't been to church enough. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. Shut your face in the name of the Lord Jesus. You speak lying words. All right? Stick to the Word of God and you'll be fine. All right? Jenny, I'm glad that you told the devil to take a hike. Absolutely. So forgiveness and healing. Whew, man. God's presence is strong here today. Whew. Mark 2, 9 through 12. Go ahead and look at that when we can. Here we go. There we go. Jesus said, which is easier to say to the paralytic? You know the scripture. I heard a sermon on the, how many remember the scripture where these guys bring, these four guys come along, tear the roof off the house, let this guy down. How'd you like to be owner of the house, right? Somebody said it's Christ's house. You know? And let this guy down in the midst, right? And you wonder, what is going on? They believed that Jesus could do it. They didn't care. One guy, the first time I heard a message on this was the quartet that raised the roof. Well, that's literally, that's literally what happened. So he said, I love this. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Boy, that stirred up the religious people. Said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. After a long time, immediately he arose, took the bed up, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God. Said, we've never seen anything like this before. I believe this, so we did. Okay, so Jesus basically was telling them, look, I've forgiven sins and I've healed all the diseases. We just read that over in Psalms, right? I've forgiven all your iniquities. I've healed all your diseases. Is that real or not? He was demonstrating that Psalm with what happened here, right? And so God wants us to get this picture as well. Jesus has provided both freely. What? Forgiveness and healing. And I say this in the notes. If sin is the root cause of sickness, and both have been dealt with, what's the problem? Every people say, what's your problem? All right? Sin and sickness already been dealt with by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the issue? We just need to quit complicating it, formulating theories and all that. Forget that stuff and just go do the work. Preach the kingdom of God. Demonstrate the kingdom of God wherever you are. Well, God's never used me in that before. Get ready. It's about ready to happen for the first time for you. Step out, man. And then final one, and then we're going to have a call here. Philippians 2, 25 through 27. Note, well, I'm going to read it first, and then this kind of boils it right down. Paul's writing, he said, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in the labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, or like an apostle, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that he had heard, you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, almost died. But God had what? How many know sometimes it's going to just take the mercy of God to see the thing happen? But how many know he's plenteous in mercy? Well, I laid hands on him, nothing seemed to happen. Well, when we lay hands on people, things do happen, but the bottom line, we have to trust in God Almighty and His mercy, right? Because He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. And He's already done it. That's the thing we got to get. Oh, if it be thy will, shut up. It is the will of God. He's already done it. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was chastised for your peace. And with his stripes, you are in Isaiah, were in Peter. You were healed. So what's the problem? Which is easier? Jesus said. We got to get a different mindset here, guys. So note, it is mercy alone here in this verse. Our faith must be rooted in God's unconditional love for us. Unconditional. I told you about the heart issue I had 9 years ago. I didn't have anybody pray for me. Didn't have anybody lay hands on me. I just went to God, poured my heart out, told him, I said, I want to see my grandkids. I believe there's a lot more for me to do. I want to be with Ina as well. We're a good team. And you can do it. I have total confidence, and I want to thank you in advance. And he did. He did. A day or two later, I'm walking in my car. You've heard the story. I heard an audible voice from within. It said, it was a male voice, said ventricle. It was Holy Ghost speaking audibly through me. He said, I want you to know what I've already done for you. Oh, Jesus. Well, I don't know if he'll do it for me. Come on down here. I'm going to slap you around a bit. You know, yeah, Cousin Vinny, right? So, Hebrews 11:11, and we're going to end with that, okay? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because, this is key, she judged him faithful. Didn't judge herself faithful. Didn't judge Abraham faithful. She judged him faithful who had promised. Whew. Wow. Let's stand. I'd like the team to come, if you will. And we're going to have a call. First of all, if you need healing yourself or you want to stand in for somebody, I believe if you do that, God's going to do miracles for you. I believe with all my heart. He put this message in my heart when I saw this lovely girl and her radiance, and we started talking. I said, you've got to help me preach this sermon on Sunday. Didn't she do a good job? Did a great job. Woo! Jesus. So I'm going to pray. You guys need prayer for anything. It doesn't have to be just healing. It can be anything. Maybe, how many of you have somebody you need to see saved? Let me see your hands. How many know God has got the key to their heart? God's got the key. He wants to unlock that hard heart. He wants to unlock it, right? You agree with him? Bible says where two agree is touching anything on earth, it shall be done for them by their Father in heaven. Why, Pastor Dave? Because of his compassion for you. Because of Jesus' compassion for you. Because it's already paid for.